Welcome to Life Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing to you part one of a five-part series entitled Roots, with today's message specifically entitled Baptism, based off of Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 12. So let us dive into the Word today.
This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all of the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than I am, not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." Then the Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. Amen. Baptism is God's cleansing of our original sin, initiation into Christ's holy church, incorporation into the body of Christ, and empowerment by the Holy Spirit for a long, lifelong process of discipleship in community. Now, baptisms are special events, are they not? My most favorite baptism that I've attended, the one that moved me the most, was one that took place years ago when I was a youth pastor at Vernon United Methodist Church. Now, don't get me wrong. All baptisms move me. They're all special. But this one was special for a specific reason. One of my youth, a girl, well, now a woman I will be marrying later this year, actually, by the name of Becky. But Becky was not raised in a Christian setting and did not attend a Christian church. Her family were good people, don't get me wrong. Just for specific reasons that I won't go into here, the church was not a place they called home. And you know what? That is the reality for many kids and families out there. Well, one of my youth, Jody Bischoff, daughter of one of our own members, John, was friends with Becky and had this awesome habit of inviting friends to youth group. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Amen. So Becky, over time, became one of our most faithful active youth who, in turn, also invited others to youth group as well. And she became a Christian and decided to be baptized because she had never been at 14 or 15 years old. And it moved me to tears. And I still think of it to this day. In fact, every baptism I do, I have that baptism in the back of my head and in my heart. Let me invite you all to think of baptisms that you have experienced, witnessed, and or were a part of. Were those experiences perceived as momentary actions or as the beginning of a lifelong process? Many of the roots of Methodism that this series explores have a spirit of both and, or synergy. Rather than either or, it's both and, or synergy. Baptism is one of these. It is both sacramental and evangelical, outward and inward, liturgical and spiritual, a divine initiative and a human response, a life change through both water and spirit, a change initiated often in infanthood and that is nurtured and lived into through lifelong discipleship through adulthood. Baptism names and claims us as beloved. I'll say that again. Baptism names and claims us as beloved. John's practice of baptism was about repentance and forgiveness, as we see in verses 4 through 5. And baptism, as Jesus experienced it, was about the Holy Spirit and being claimed as beloved by God, as we see in verses 8 through 12. In our baptism, there is a washing away of our sin, and we are also claimed as beloved by God. We are plunged into the depths of the divine through water and the Spirit. We experience an immersion into a new life with God as loved, forgiven, and gifted people. Baptism unites us in community. In the earliest gospel, which is Mark, the gospel we read today, Jesus chose to be baptized by John. We do not experience faith and faithfulness in isolation. Jesus didn't just go off into the wilderness by himself. No, he shows up at the Jordan River amongst the crowd of people, and he chooses to be baptized by John. So we do not experience faith and faithfulness in isolation, but surrounded and supported by others. That is why we do not engage in private baptisms, why we acknowledge that private baptisms are not, theologically speaking, valid. They're just not. The communal nature of faith also helps explain why Methodist bands as in B-A-N-D-S, or small groups, began to support each other rather than trying to operate independently. And I want you to think about our own baptism liturgy. When we take the vows of baptism, it is not just the parents and the sponsors vowing to God to uphold the child and to raise the child in a Christian manner. But you'll notice it is also the congregation that vows to support the parents in doing so. That is also why private baptisms aren't acceptable, because we're asking congregation members to actually support the raising of a child in a Christian manner, to support the parents in doing so, and they can't do that if the parents have no intention of being a part of the church, or aren't committing before the church to do the same. In baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit, and in response are sent out into the world. When we receive God's grace in baptism, it is God calling us, as God called Jesus, "Beloved, you are my dearly loved child, with whom I am well pleased." And right after God calls Jesus beloved son, the Spirit sends Jesus out into the wilderness. It says it compelled him to go out. There was no choice. It drove him out there. Being sent is our human response to our belovedness. God's love for us calls us to action. Consider the work we do as individuals and as the church community in resisting evil, in resisting injustice and oppression as found in the United Methodist Hymnal, page 34, section 4. Back during the pandemic, a lot of things were going down that were unjust. George Floyd lost his life. We all remember that. The way we behaved as a people, targeting each other, targeting Asians because they looked Chinese, as we blamed the virus on the Chinese people, regardless of what governments do. There was a lot of injustice and oppression in the world, and some of us, sadly, some of us got sucked up into it. But friends, as United Methodists, we are called to stand up and oppose and resist evil in whatever forms it presents itself in. We're to stand against injustice and oppression. Reflect on this quote, my friends, from Reverend Dr. William Barber III. If you can raise your hands in praise, but can't reach down to help someone in need, you've just nullified your praise. I'll say that again. If you can raise your hand in praise, but can't reach a hand down to help someone in need, you've just nullified your praise. In baptism, you are called beloved, empowered with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and you are united with the struggles and joys of those in the church community. Your voice is important and unique. Is there a place you need to receive God's forgiveness? Is there a particular injustice you have failed to act on? And if you're new to the church and haven't been baptized, or you've been even in the church for a while and haven't been baptized, you may be interested in baptism. And you may not understand how baptism is a one-time thing in the United Methodist Church. So if you were baptized as infants, you can't be rebaptized. Your baptism already counts. But what we can do for you, if you've been baptized but you want to have that experience, we can remember your baptism. And have you remember it? Have you profess your faith once again and remember your baptism? But friends, your baptism as an infant or as an adult, we're only baptized once in the church. And that one baptism is enough. It is sufficient. For God loves you and you are a beloved child of God. And there is nothing you can do or say to take that love away from you. You can't rebaptize yourself to get more love. You can't go out and do works to get more love. God loves you. You are loved because God is love, not because you've earned it. But you might, again, if you want that experience, you might want to remember your baptism. And so we're going to do this today in a little bit. In fact, let's do that right now. Let's do that right now. I want you to lift up the glass of water that I hope you have gotten. And I want you to pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be here today. We thank you to be worshiping you and to be connected together as a community in faith and in Christ. Lord, here is this water that is before us, plain water, but yet set aside for a special purpose. And that purpose, Lord, is to remember our baptism. To remember the baptism that we had that entered us into your family. And so that we, in remembering that baptism, renew our faith and put our faith in you. Amen. And now, as we do, I would invite you to dip your fingers into the water and to make the mark of the cross on your forehead. Amen. As United Methodists, we have worked towards eliminating malaria in sub-Saharan Africa with nothing but nets. And you can go online to igrc.org and you can find the comprehensive impact report on that. But we have worked towards eliminating malaria in sub-Saharan Africa with nothing but nets. This past year, we have welcomed new people into our church through our ongoing bi-monthly potluck dinners. We have been promoting communal and individual help through Hypnosis for Health. We've continued to educate Christians, young and old alike, through our Christian education program. Also, we've built community outside the walls of our church at Theology on Tap. And we'll be doing so at an upcoming community prayer ministry that I am currently developing. And more will be out shortly on that. In what ways can our church unleash the power of connection when addressing the baptismal admonitions against injustice as referred to in the baptism liturgy? Together, friends. In fact, I want to challenge you to do more than you think because of God's empowerment and the Holy Spirit. I want you to think deeper and harder as to what God can call you to do and allow God to bring you deeper than you think in what you can do. Together, let us not only remember our baptism, but let us live into and embody our baptismal vows. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be here, to hear your message and to be challenged by it, but also inspired and given hope, great hope, that we are in fact, Lord, your children, beloved, holy, set apart, your saints here on earth as surely as we will be in heaven. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, friends, I want to give you this blessing before we close with our postlude. So here we are. Remember that we are called. We are called because we are included in God's family and we are beloved of God. And so we are called to share the good news of God's love toward others and to invite them into the same family we are in, whether we like them or not, because God loves us all. Amen? So go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.